determine how effective the pass rush is.
Can you move the quarterback to get him off balance? Is he completing the ball? You know, sometimes I don't think you get a, you know, are we pressuring him and we not letting him get his feet set? You know, is he disrupting the timing of the play?
Where would you say O-line is now compared to when this group first got together at the start?
13 weeks older.
What do you see progression-wise from
now? I've seen him grow as a group, and I think it happens with any team. You know, we weren't together to start with, you know, so them getting to learn Coach Stoutland and, you know, what he's teaching and what he brings to the table. And then, you know, the biggest consistency is that they've all been healthy, so we had an opportunity to all play together. And they've, you know, you're starting to see similar looks when people play in, how they're trying to defend you. And, you know, it's been a huge plus for us. I think one of the reasons we've been successful offensively is that all those guys have been successful. But I just seen them over time, they've grown as a group together, and that's a positive for us. So.
Why did Celek and Cooper low-five each other in that crossing route?
They like each other.
Brent said to ask you that maybe there were
some suggestions. And I say,
reason for it.
Ask Brent.
Chip, the defensive line of the Lions, they have a reputation. Do you guys have to kind of be aware of what kind of stuff they might do, and how much of a concern is that?
It's not a concern. Our concern, the reputation I know about those guys is that they're outstanding football players and they play extremely hard, and you better buckle it up and get ready every play against those guys. So.
You talk about similar looks. Do you find defenses still focus on taking away McCoy? Is that really the way most teams go into play?
No, everybody's different, you know, in terms of how they do it. But I think you get a body. I mean, you can run with it if you want, Les. But, I mean, you know, I think it's kind of they play into their strengths. And really, from a look standpoint, it's, you know, we're going to see a four-down front against the Detroit Lions. I mean, that look's not going to be different. But really where the change-ups occur during the game is with the coverage and how are they going to, you know, handle the back end in terms of are they getting people closer to the box or, you know, are they playing more man, you know, how that aspect works. But people aren't really changing up their fronts against us.
Since Nick Foles started a few weeks ago, in what areas do you think he's most improved?
I don't know. I mean, I don't look at it that way. I've seen a growth from him in all facets, so I don't think one area more than the other area. There's a comfort level there. You know, he can, as you're starting to call plays, he can finish the play call. You know, I think he's got that comfort level because he knows what formations are matched to within the game plan. You know, I think he's really taking a lot of ownership of what we're doing here. But I don't think there's one that's more than the other, but there's been overall improvement in everything he's done.
The more you've gone with 12 personnel, have you noticed defenses staying more in their base or going with their nickel? Has it changed as the season's gone along?
No, every team's different and every game's different, and that's why we approach every game like it's the season. So how the Redskins responded to us was maybe different than how the Cardinals responded to us. So there's not a lot of carryover because you got two entirely different entities and people making decisions that aren't the same. So, you know, the Cardinals staff isn't going, hey, this is what the Redskins do, let's do what they do. You know, they're going to do what their answer is, and that's what you find out during the game, what their answer is. So.
Is that the reason why it's become a lot of teams are doing it, because it's so difficult for defenses or coordinators to find the right personnel to match up against that?
I don't know why people do it. You know, sometimes people match, sometimes people don't match. I mean, that's a question more for defensive guys than offensive guys, I think.
When you thought about bringing your offense to this level, where you're operating now, how close is that to your ideal, and how much of the operation is because of the way Foles is playing?
I don't have an ideal. You know, our job very simply is to move the ball and score points. So we never – I mean, I don't really care what it looks like. You know, and the offense we run here is not Oregon's offense. It's the Philadelphia Eagles offense that was put together by a – group of really smart guys on the offensive side of the ball, and everybody contributed to it. So there's some things we did at Oregon, there's some things that Jeff Stoutland did at Alabama, there's some things that Bobby Bucknell did with the Buffalo Bills, there's some things that Billy Lazor brought when he was in the NFL and when he was at Virginia, there's things Pat brought from Cleveland. So it's, you know, it's all of us putting it together. So
you've been asked a lot about the last couple of weeks about big receivers like Fitzgerald and Calvin Johnson and everything, but you know, to see a smaller receiver like Deshaun having the season that he's having, I mean, what does that kind of say about, you know, receivers who aren't exactly 6'5 or 6'3 or whatever?
That, I mean, it depends on your production as a player. That, you know, and sometimes obviously there's things that height has to do with it, but you know, there's not many guys that run like Deshaun or can catch the ball like Deshaun. So I think he doesn't have what he lacks in height, he makes up in all the other categories. So
when the game starts and you start taking a look at what the other defense is doing in terms of either matching or playing man or staying pace or whatever, is it common for teams to not show you what their real intention is early, so you think you're adjusting what they're doing, and then they flip to what they really want to do?
Yeah, it's way too smart for me.
I don't
see that. And I know as a play caller, we don't do that. Hey, I'm going to call three shitty plays in a row and let them think the next one's going to be shitty, and then we're going after them. I mean, I think that's a little bit – that's not my mentality, and that's what I meant. I'm not smart enough to – I mean, now you may think there's some shit. You may – hey, write that. If there's a shitty call on Sunday, just say he's setting them up. We knew what he was going to do.
By accident when you call three shitty ones in a row?
Totally by accident.
Lines, you guys have only scored 7 points in each of the last second halves. How much of that comes down to adjustments in the game, and is there anything you need to do different from
it comes down to everything. Yeah, I mean, we want to score points in the fourth quarter, but there's also cognizant there's two things going on there. You're also trying to work the clock at the same time. So, you know, when there's two games, a Tampa Bay game, Green Bay game, we did a really good job of it. There's other games we didn't. I don't think we scored any points in the fourth quarter of the Oakland Raiders game, but it didn't matter at that point in time. So
you've been calling plays on offense for a long time. Are you any different now than when you were first started doing it in New Hampshire? Before that, is there a process, or do you like where you are now?
I better like where I am now because this is where I am. So, I mean, I've always believed play calling is based on your personnel. So it doesn't, you know, you're trying to get your players in positions to make plays, and you have good days and bad days, just like players have good days and bad days. So,
I've heard the emphasis call plays though when you're on the field. Obviously, head coach has.
Nah, I've been on the field. I've been on the field my whole life, except for 2 years at Oregon when I was a coordinator and I was in the box. So,
you did the box up there.
Yeah.
Coach, the emphasis on end of half scoring. Why is that such an emphasis? Scoring at the end of the half.
I don't know where that. I mean, we try to score on every possession, so I don't think there's an emphasis on the end of the half more than there is on any other part of the game. So.
Coach, you remind players that during the season, when you guys are this far deep and the playoffs are within reach, you have to constantly remind them about just don't look ahead, you know, too far, just kind of focus just on the Lions here week to week, day to day.
We don't. I mean, we meet every week at the beginning of the week and talk to them about the plan for that week, and that's it. That's what we've done since day one here, and I think they understand that. But I mean, we got a bunch of guys that understand the game and have been around it for a long time. I think if I have to tell them how to think, then you know we got the wrong guys in here. But when we meet, there's a purpose to our meeting, and so if I'm making stuff up, you know, who's our opponent? What do they got to do? What are the keys to victory? And let's go play. So.
Jim, Brent Selleck said that he appreciated that you called him when you were drafting Zach Ertz and signed James Casey. Why did you decide to do that? What was the reaction from him when you made those two moves?
He was fine. I called everybody. You know, when we drafted Lane, I talked to Jason Peters and Todd and, you know, who our tackles were at the time. And, you know, I just think it's when we signed free agents, we called the other guys at those positions on the team. I just think it's part of the process is that – they're involved in this team, and I think they should understand what direction we're going in and why we're doing things. So,
Coach, Mike Tomlin got a hefty fine yesterday. Regardless of his intention, how aware are you where you are at times on the sideline, and what does that fine mean maybe for you going forward?
You're not. I mean, I understand, Mike. There's times where you're not aware, and you kind of like hold. You know, I'm on the field, or I'm in the white. You know, and so, I mean, I've been there before. I've gotten hit in college. You know, and gotten a penalty for it, but I wasn't paying attention. So, you know, I think you have to pay attention. So, it was unfortunate. What's that?
A wake-up call yesterday, seeing what could happen.
Yeah.
Chip Red Smith, how has he picked things up since he's been here?
Very well. I mean, one thing about Brad that struck me from day two here was how much he retained, you know, from just his first meeting. And I was like, he's extremely smart, very, very intelligent. Football player, and I think his background's kind of interesting because he was a quarterback, so he learned things kind of globally growing up, so he could tell you. You know, a lot of times receivers know what route they run on each individual play, but I don't know what everybody else is doing. Well, Brad has always learned it from the eyes of a quarterback, and I think that helped him in his ability to pick things up.
Some reps as a wide receiver. I mean, do you see him maybe playing a role going forward as a receiver?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.